The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
It's going to be a football game tonight, now, no doubt. It's going to be a football game here. Okay.
All right,
let's go, baby.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Watson. Touchdown. Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max, the Thursday night, Friday morning edition. And, well, the preseason games are now officially over, and college has officially started on the same night as well. And since we haven't really talked college all off-season, we're going to do some of that tonight by talking about the Ohio State and Indiana game, and also giving our playoff picks. We're not going to go through all the conferences and all that because, you know, at this point, it's too late. Should have done that probably on the Monday show if we were going to do it. But hey, we do have a new football podcast that just started with their first episode yesterday called The Kickoff, starring guys you might already hear on this very network, Harry Broadhurst, Stephen Err, and of course Brandon Briscoe being making his return to the airwaves. So, you know, they give you all the picks for every conference, and they do what we're going to do on Tuesday, which is give you predictions for all the division winners, wild cards, playoffs, and everything else. But that's on Tuesday right now. This is what we're doing. We're also talking some news, but I'm not here by myself. Mr. Eric Watkins, how are you?
Disappointed. Very, very disappointed. Although this game did give me genesis for ideas for point of viewer, I'm still disappointed.
That's interesting in itself. Mr. Gary Vaughn, how are you?
I'm done with foreplay. I'm ready to get into the regular season of college football and the NFL.
Well, we get pretty big games happening even Friday, on Saturday, Sunday, and even up to Monday. We're also going to be debuting our first college football rankings on the website, W2Mnet.com. So, and all three of us are on the panel, so you want to make sure that you check it out. I do want to preface this by saying that I know last year we had a college football to the max kind of short show that we did. You know, although I do know that Eric and Gary do watch a lot of college, I don't know, with Eric and I kind of being the two-man team, doing the having to break down NFL games and stuff, it kind of makes it hard for us to also do a college football short show at the same time and not be here till 4 or 5 in the morning every time doing shows because, you know, we also have the wrestling show that goes on the same night as well. So just want to preface that. Unless we all come together and figure out something that works, or probably it's going to be not focusing too much on college this year. I'm sorry about that, but hey, you know, like I said, there's another football podcast that might do more of that in our stead. And hey, you know, we're always accepting applications for new podcasts, so if you're a big college football person, hit me up, w2network@gmail.com. We're always ready to listen. So, but all right, guys, Ohio State, they were trailing Indiana at the half, 14-13. Indiana was Lego. Sorry, I forgot that's how that's pronounced. Even though it looks like Lago on the jersey, he was passing to his favorite target seemingly at will for a while. For a large portion of that first half, they couldn't get a running game going. The defense was kind of stifling that running game and making Mr. Barrett have to work for it. But then, Eric, the second half happened, and oh boy.
Yeah, all respect to quarterbacks who wear numbers like 21. I was really pulling for him because of that. And because of my very strong...
Wait, because of a number?
Part of it. I mean, come on. How many times have you seen quarterbacks wear anything above the number 19?
Well, that's because they're not allowed to in the NFL.
Well, of course they're not allowed to in the NFL, thank you very much, numbering system and passes and blah, blah, blah. But they could still embrace that more in college.
Hey, come on. In soccer, we have a sacred numbering system, too. I don't have a problem with that.
No, but okay, what number? I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I'm listening to you guys
talk
about it.
He's wearing number 21 as a quarterback. Oh. You hardly ever see that.
Yeah, you don't. You don't ever see that. You know, this is what I love about
the 22.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. College football, they're allowed to do that kind of stuff. I love when I see a punter come out there with, like, you know, 88 or 97. I love when you get receivers wearing just those funky numbers, like, you know, a 7 or up to, like, you know, 29. I mean, I think it's kind of what's fun about college football. It doesn't matter what number. So it's part of the gimmick, if you'll say it that way. I kind of like it. And, I'm glad another quarterback is wearing something other than, you know, 19 and below.
Yeah, between that and my very strong disdain and hatred for Ohio State, I was rooting for Indiana to win. But Legal, look, I love you. I get that you were wearing a knee brace. But for the love of God, could you telegraph your passes anymore? You easily could have thrown 6 interceptions tonight.
Yeah, he was staring down his receivers like nobody's business. It was so obvious who he was going to throw to. It was amazing to me in the first half that they just couldn't. Was it Cook? I can't remember the receiver's name at this point. But
yeah, it was Crooks. They were mainly throwing to Ohio State's DB Ward all throughout the first half. And I said, you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. You're playing with fire.
Yeah, and then they also weren't they didn't protect Lego that well either. He also seemed, because of that brace, he couldn't move around much, so he was really kind of stuck back there. Ohio State really just killed that off that running game from the jet. They had no running game at all, and then really just I think it just comes down to experience. Urban Meyer's been here, done that a million times over. He made every adjustment you had to make. All of a sudden, the senior running back for Ohio State just started going off, and not to mention this may not even have been a thing at all if 21 for Ohio State catches that pass in the end zone where he's wide open. That was just like a comedy of errors.
Yeah, it really was. And for as porous as Indiana's offensive line was, the Buckeyes offensive line wasn't much better in the first half. They finally were able to shore up and seal blocks, but even had issues in the red zone late, having a tackle get in between a double team when they're trying to set up a simple little counterplay. It wasn't until they made those adjustments that Barrett had time to make his throws. And, of course, having shorter fields off of turnovers, that helped tremendously. But there's a few kinks that Ohio State's got to work out.
I think overall, I mean, look, it's the first week. You don't always come out firing on all cylinders. And you are playing a conference game from game one, which usually never happens.
No.
So, you know, I think hats off to Indiana for really putting it out there in that first half. But again, it just comes down to you got a lot of experience out there. Guys were making plays in that second half. They weren't making in that first half. Not to mention that incomplete pass. It was correctly ruled an incomplete pass. But, I mean, if that got named a touchdown, again, that's another thing that could have made this thing out of reach before it was even an opportunity to be this close. Just, right. Yeah.
And again, terrible offensive line, Legault not being able to go anywhere. That's what really set up the play. And I mean, Indiana's offensive play calling, I get that they didn't have a running game, but even in their passing game, they did themselves no favors. They didn't adjust.
It was really a lot of just comeback routes and stuff to the sideline and all that stuff. There was nothing really in the middle of the field. And I obviously, again, good job on Ohio State for defending that. But it's just like, it was so obvious what was going to happen. Okay, Cook's over to the left, the other guy over to the right. Oh, it's probably going to get deflected because you're staring him down so much. Honestly, I could feel like this lead's about to evaporate. As soon as they go those first two drives without even doing anything, I've never putting in the chat, yeah, Indiana's been figured out here. And then here we go, the next drive, bam, they start just pouring it on.
And even because I've watched it via the coach's room, so I could get my own analysis, listen to their analysis, and get the angle from the all 22. They had mentioned right late in the third quarter, this was the same time last year, Ohio State started pulling away, and it was a close game. What did Ohio State do? Start pulling away in a close game.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to say the Homer version or whatever commentary, that was just awful. I guess it's there to be a novelty or whatever. What do you think about that, Gary? Like, do you think it's cool to have, like, the same game brought to you in, like, five different ways? Or do you just not care about that stuff? Gary?
You could do it to see reactions and stuff, I guess. I mean, it, you know, it depends on how it's done. I mean, sometimes that stuff gets overproduced, to be honest with you. Sometimes I just like the straight call, but
so,
I get
so
the entertainment
you have
factor.
Like, did you see? So they have like a version where they have two ESPN anchors, one on each side, and it's one Ohio State guy and one, like, it seems like it's somebody probably that's in their media. Or maybe their announcer that does their local games, or I don't know. I couldn't really tell what they were trying to do with that.
I thought normally they would have done it like the Premier League back in the day. Just bring in two jobbers, one of the
fans. Oh, no, they still have that, that fan zone. That's part of that Premier League pass.
That's still a thing?
Yeah, that's still on there. Yeah.
Wow.
So
I thought they would have nixed that a long time ago.
Well, and they also have like an all 22 version that has like Mac Brown and some coaches looking at it.
Yeah,
and then they have a version that's what's the other one?
The Skycam.
Yeah, the Skycam version. So there's like five different ways you can watch the game depending on what channel you're watching it on, basically.
Wow. See, that's cool, I guess, to give you options. I mean, I'm okay with it, to be honest with you, because some people like different ways of looking at it, you know. But that's a lot of content for one game. But, hey, that's up to the network.
Well, that's why they call it the MegaCast. I mean, I remember a couple years ago when Florida State won the title – one of their channels was the option, just the game, without any announcers whatsoever. I watched that. And even tonight, I ideally, if it wasn't for my internet access, I would have had film room on my TV and on my tablet, the Skycam. So that way I could get the angles, and it really helps you with what you pick for preparing for what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. Like, they have that, soccer's been doing that for years now with the Fox Soccer to Go, and ESPN has done it a couple times too, where you can watch a game. They have like a 360 camera, and then you can watch it with the soccer version of the All 22, where you see it from the formation view, where you can see the guys from like a from up top, and you can see them like how they move, so you can see how they're staying in the formation the whole time. I think that's cool that they've branched that out to other sports. Yeah. I mean, I really don't think that it works so much in anything but football and soccer, but, you know.
Yeah, that's about it. But for other ideas that I've seen, it started in football and branched with soccer, that they would really do with other sports is player ISOs. I would like to see like some of that more often, especially in a football game. Hey, key matchups to highlight. Well, let's see how they do over the course of a couple of drives.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more to say about the game, honestly. I will say I watched a little bit of Arkansas whoop Florida A&M. I mean, I knew that was going to happen, so that's nothing special. I did like Austin Allen. He made some moves. Like, I saw him spin out of a sack, juke a guy, and then throw a pass for, like, 20 yards. So, go him, you know. I've heard a lot of people say that they thought he's better than Brandon Allen as a passer. So, we'll see once they start playing things in conference. But, you know, not nice for them to start the season at the same time. I don't think there was anything else of consequence that happened tonight as far as games that matter for the top 25 or anything, but
pretty much your standard cupcake whoopings. Cupcakes. Hey, wow. I had three of them at work today, and that constituted my breakfast. Was it a good idea? Hell no, but it was delicious.
That's what matters.
Pretty sure it's not a good idea, but you know, whatever works, you gotta get that fix in there. So, yeah, let's go ahead. I guess since we're on the college beat, so we can get one thing out of the way, and then because there's the NFL news, there's some kind of important things, but it's not really that important. But yeah. We have Oklahoma State blew out Tulsa, no surprise. But it is good to see, you know, Mason Rudolph and James Washington back on the, you know, on the same page and doing well. And that was sort of the only one I think of consequence for tonight. Utah won their game, and then you have the Florida International sucked it up as always. With Central Florida winning. Just wanted to point that out there. But, so Friday.
I mean, it's Butch Davis. It's not him back in the old days.
Well, and also, you know, the talent that you have is much different.
True. Oh, God, true.
Washington's beating Rutgers, right? I mean, we don't have. I'm not going to get an argument here.
No, not for me.
No. Rutgers. This is what happens. Yeah, Rutgers, great. You played in the first college football game ever. Congratulations. That was nearly 150 years ago. You haven't done anything since. Just stop.
You know, I know they set these schedules out for, like, years in advance a lot of times.
Yep.
But, yep. Like, you think that Washington would have learned from last year, get better non-conference opponents, but
no, they haven't. And that's why it's going to haunt them at the end.
Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's beating Utah State, right? No.
The only Aggies that are worth anything are Texas A&M. Just keep that in mind.
Well, Not if you ask Gary. happens.
They're a good team. It's just, you know, when their quarterbacks go to the NFL, don't expect success.
So what do you think of first game for Lane Kiffin against Navy? Florida Atlantic.
The kickoff is going to have their segment, the Lane Train. I'm going to let that one just pass right on by this week. with what Navy did last year and the fact that they're going to have something of a chip on their shoulder and they're going to be really set and hungry to win the American and potentially get themselves into the New Year's Six, and it's still Lane Kiffin. And if you think Florida International's bad, look at the other side of the Schnellenberger Bowl.
It is in Boca Raton, by the way. But
yeah, it could be on the moon. I still pick Navy.
I got to pick Navy, too. Colorado State won last week. They're playing Colorado.
This is going to be kind of funny to watch. I think, you know, when these, you know, rival teams kind of come into play, interstate rivalry, whatever, they're always kind of fun to watch. But I got to go with Colorado. I don't know that I'm going to go with Colorado State on this one.
Now, Colorado State did beat Oregon State last week, if I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, congratulations, Rams. You're going to start 2-0 in the Pac-12.
You think so?
I honestly do. I see them beating Colorado. It's going to be a tough
game. They did
lose
a lot on that defense last year.
Well, true, but even then, what, aside from last year's magical going to the Pac-12 North, what does Colorado, I don't know. It's something about them that made me think that last year was extremely fluky. Extremely fluky.
Still seeing quite a few people having them win their division of the Pac-12. So, for what it's worth. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're doing that without taking losses, obviously. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, Washington is actually the more common favorite in the Pac-12 North than Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, Eric, you bring up a good point. I mean, there is that opportunity. Colorado State could, you know, prove everybody wrong. I just, you know, from my gut, that's the only thing I'm going by here, and that's Colorado. I kind of feel like, you know, may upset Colorado State for the fact that they are stoked about getting into this game, coming off a big win. I just don't see it, though.
I do. I go with Eric, actually. I have Colorado State here in this one. Clemson's beaten Kent State. Penn State's beaten Akron. Right.
Zips ain't gonna zip no more.
Mm-hmm.
What about Texas and Maryland, Gary?
You know, that could be fun just because, you know, Texas is coming into with basically their program being reset with Herman and all of that. But I mean, Texas should win it. I think Maryland, you know, okay. But I think it'd be the biggest upset for, you know, Texas fans because they're excited about this year. But, yeah, I think Texas is going to be okay.
You think Texas deserves to be ranked after they were 4-12 last year?
No. No. I mean, even with what Tom Herman did at Houston, you ain't at Houston. There's a reason why they say the eyes of Texas look upon you. I mean, granted, Maryland hasn't been much of anything since Ralph Friedgen left. So that's why I'm saying hook 'em horns for this week. But like I gave Mark Richt at Miami, before I say anything overwhelmingly positive or negative of what he's doing at Texas, Herman gets a free year. Just roll with it.
I'm a Texas fan, you know, and hook 'em horns whatever time they play, whenever they play. But here's my thing, okay? It's not even about the fact that they deserve it. It's all about money. It's college football. That's the almighty dollar speaks volumes in this. So that's why they're getting ranked. That's exactly why they're getting him, because it's a big money team and people are going to put the money behind a new system, a new guy in place, and just all the excitement around it. It has really nothing to do with merit.
But why would you need the extra money for being ranked? You have your own damn network, for Christ's sake.
No, it's not extra money. It's just for the fact that the people picking these polls are just looking at the, well, you know, this is a team that's got tons of money behind it. Surely they're going to do great this year. We'll ignore everything last year. Let's just say that they're going to do great this year. That's all they're doing. It's, you know, that's just the way it works sometimes in college football. There's a lot of idiocracies that coming at the beginning when you're ranking the top 25 at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I will say watch out for Boston College. They could do well in their conference this year. At Northern Illinois is normally a pretty decent MAC team. They could beat them there. And I'll also say watch out upset special on Wyoming beating Iowa, too.
Don, have you seen Boston College in the ACC? I mean, literally.
Hey, every year is different with college. You get better recruits, you know. That's all
look,
I'm saying.
Look, this isn't basketball. This isn't hockey. This is football. And I'm putting my bias against Boston College.
You act like Boston College has never been good. Boston College has been good at certain points in football.
Mm-hmm. I'm well aware of that, and I saw their last good times back in the early 2000s. Ooh, tremendous. Ooh.
Miami's beaten this Bethune-Cookman, right? No.
If Bethune-Cookman scores, I'm going to be pissed off.
Florida A&M scored. It's no big deal.
But Miami, we play Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman every year because they're the little minnows in our state, and we have our own little cupcakes, throwing some money, a few bones at our Florida compatriots. But no, we come in, win 60-0. Test out 3 or 4 quarterbacks and then go home. That's what it should be again this year.
I agree with you. Oklahoma's beating UTEP. I don't think we have to spend any time on that at all. Are you buying into the hype with NC State?
No.
Going against South Carolina here.
Mm.
A lot of people with the hype on NC State's going to be a player in the ACC.
No. The only players I see in the ACC are Clemson, and even they're going to take a big hit, Florida State and Miami. Everybody's finally going to get that pant-creaming matchup of Florida State-Miami in the championship game, present company included.
I'm glad that you allowed us to know that you get cream on your pants there for that. But,
those cupcakes, they get messy sometimes, Sean.
Yeah,
that's where we'll go with that. I don't know that I'm buying it. I don't think it's going to be anything that, you know, is going to really come to fruition. I think it could be a team to watch out for, and maybe they'll have some good moments. But hey, South Carolina taking them on. Sorry, my money goes on South Carolina.
I'm going for South Carolina, too. And wait, so no love for Lamar Jackson and Louisville?
No. Look at his last 3-4 games. No. Even better, Kentucky. Look at what he did against Kentucky.
It doesn't mean that he's going to start out the year badly.
I know, but I thought it was a total sly job him getting the Heisman last year. No. Good luck. Leading from the front.
I still say that loss where, because the receiver couldn't figure out that he needed to keep going, is not the guy's fault. But
well, yeah. Again, that one play for leading to a loss wasn't his fault. But if it was just a one bad game to end the season, fine. But there was a significant downturn those last 3-4 games. Now, does this mean he'll start off this year bad? No. But does this mean he'll start off this year with, like, the house on fire with that much film on him? No. He's going to be average.
So first big game of Saturday is Michigan and Florida, with Florida having like 20 million guys suspended. So Michigan's going to win, right?
Given the fact that the New Yorker is a Gator fan, yes, Wolverines all day. Hashtag go blue.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going Michigan. I think they're definitely going to take this one easily.
Let's see. Yeah, USC has beaten Western Michigan. I think they lost quite a few guys from that team last year. So,
and their head coach.
Yeah. And their head coach. That's the most important one, which Minnesota did win tonight, beating Buffalo. So PJ Fleck has his first win of the
year. There's more Minnesota sports that I can talk about. You know, I need to be very careful over the next few months. I don't want that state banning me, but if things go the certain way, I'll be teetering on that edge.
Hey, at least you don't want to talk about Minnesota United on this show.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, they're not going to be exempt come Sunday.
No upset for Appalachian State against Georgia this year, right?
Nah.
Okay. They're always that team that does upset sometimes.
Yeah.
Ever since they've come up to the FBS, they've lost their luster. I mean, they should have stayed in the FCS and kept going on and racking up titles. But in another money grab and a conference that finally will make all 10 conferences have championship games since they have the right number of teams of everything. No.
Fair enough. I'm going to put this out there. I think everybody keeps saying it's like Oklahoma State or bust. I think Kansas State has a really good team that people are underestimating, and they could be giving Oklahoma State and the rest of that Big 12 a run for their money this year. Obviously, they're not going to have a problem with Central Arkansas, but just watch out for Kansas State in that Big 12.
I mean, honestly, if you're discounting a double bedlam this year, Kansas State would be the team to go with. The rest of that conference is fantastic on offense, but in the end, crap. It's kind of why I watch.
Yeah, you know, and that's been the biggest thing. You know, everybody always talks about that factor with the Big 12, and, you know, they're not going to change their way of doing things. I think that they're going to continue on being offensive heavy and see what happens on defense, you know. But, yeah, Kansas State's an interesting team. I think they're one to watch for sure. You know, I'm not sure I'm willing to say, you know, they're going to blow everybody out of the water, but I do think that they're going to be a lot more improved.
So do you think that Lamar Jackson goes back to being Lamar Jackson against Purdue, or does he bring a different facet? Do people figure him out a little bit more?
I don't know if Purdue has the talent on defense to force that issue, but I would hope that they've made a lot of off-season adjustments to where he brings out more facets anyways.
Yeah.
LSU and BYU. BYU won last week. You know they're always kind of interesting. They always have the ability to put up points.
Oh, wow. 20-6 against the mighty Portland State. Real big win, please.
Yeah, LSU takes care of business. I don't have any fear with that.
I don't know. I got BYU in the upset. You never know. These guys. The last like couple years they had to play with their backup quarterback and somehow still won games.
Yeah, and they're playing with their starter, and you beat Portland State at home. Portland State at
Not every game has to be like 60-5.
I'm sorry. Last time I checked, there is this little thing, the fact that style points do matter.
I know, especially, but I'm just saying,
like, why you?
You know, hey, you're starting. It's week zero. Like, you're not always just ready to come in there and blow people out. Sometimes.
Tell that to Stanford against Rice in Sydney, Australia, no less.
Rice, come on. Rice shouldn't even be a team. They're awful.
And Portland State's in the FCS. This furthers my argument.
I'm just saying, Rice gets blown out all the time.
But again, this just furthers my argument. If they can do that, BYU, they should have been able to at least hang up 40 on them. I saw that game.
West Virginia and Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that should be a fun game to check out. You know, that's one that's going to be a little bit more different. I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
Aside from the Banjos, West Virginia. But, I mean, that's just going to – that one's going to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to be weird. It's just going to be weird.
It is in the FedEx Field. So.
Oh, Lord, that,
Well, hey, it's not an RFK, so.
I know, when you took the words right out of my mouth, that's what will probably make it weirder.
Well, West Virginia has more of a track record as of late, and I would probably go with them. But
I think they have parts of that stellar defense from last year, too.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I'm leaning towards them. But I just have this weird feeling Virginia Tech, you know, they could upset somehow.
So you it's Josh Rosen at home against Texas A&M beating them? Or is A&M springing that surprise that people are – I've been hearing some people say, you know, watch out for A&M.
I mean, this is a rematch. This is the second game of that home and home. I'm actually, with everything that's going on, I'm tempted to pick A&M in this one.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing, and for a long time, I've kind of followed A&M a little bit here and there, and just kind of sometimes rooted against them. Of course, that goes back to old rivalry stuff. I think A&M could pull out the victory. I know a lot of people are kind of saying it's a surprise, but I don't know. I think it could be more solid than just a surprise. I'll say A&M as well.
I got A&M too. I got West Virginia in that other game too. I think I forgot to say that. But Tennessee, Georgia Tech. Think there's an upset brewing here. It's in Atlanta.
Although I don't know, I wouldn't even know how it would be determined as an upset. I mean, my gut's telling me that Georgia Tech will take this one, but I don't think Tennessee is really the same team. Even with Josh Dobbs last year, they struggled. And I don't even know who they've got under center now.
I'll go with Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going with you, Sean. I think Tennessee. I don't know that they're going to be any better than they were last year, but I don't know if Georgia Tech is either.
Well, Gary, before we get to the big game, I have to know your thoughts on North Texas and Lamar.
Oh, the Mean Green are going to go in there. It's going to be 65-0. It's going to be it's like asking me, well, do you think the Jets or the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl? I look at at this and say to myself, I really think Lamar actually surprised people and did some. I don't know. I'll be a homer. Heck, I'll say North Texas. I don't really feel it, but I'll say North Texas.
I'm going to go with North Texas, too. By the way, if you don't know, this is Gary and I's alma mater. So
yeah.
I always have to throw in the UNT, which when I started going there, that's when they started sucking. So Gary was there a little bit during the Patrick Cobbs and nice when they were decent era.
Yeah, freshman year, they won the Sun Belt and went to New Orleans for their bowl game, which they lost. So
they were decent last year.
Yeah, they're making their way back to U, babe. It's just, you know, not getting quick enough to the where we need them to be. Are they actually playing that game in Denton, or are they playing that somewhere else?
It's in Denton, yeah.
It is in Denton? Okay. Yeah. So I was kind of curious. That makes me a little stronger on North Texas winning.
All right, the big game, the supposed best first week game ever, as they said like 20 times during the Ohio State-Indiana game. Alabama and Florida State, number one and number three in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Who you got?
I mean, first of all, it's going to be extremely confusing because you have Mercedes-Benz Stadium and Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I'm probably the only person to really think of something like that, but hey, sponsorship. Number two, well, when they throw out a stat like the AP poll era dating all the way back to 36, and this is the first time the preseason number one has faced a top three team, I have to give a little credit to it being the best week one game ever. That said, as much as I really am not fond of Nick Saban, Bama.
It's hard. It's almost like you almost have to pick Alabama. You often say, well, you know, come on, this will be the time that they go down, but I just come into this game saying somehow, some way, even though it's a big game, they do pretty well in big games. I think they win.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts was so good last year. I can only see him getting better. Whereas the Florida State quarterback comes back, but he's without Dalvin Cook, Travis Rudolph, and a lot of what made that team work.
Exactly. I ain't going to a guy named DeAndre Francois.
Yes, DeAndre Francois. And he has a problem with holding the ball as well. So that's not good for going against Alabama. I still think it winds up being close, but Alabama winds up winning.
Yeah. No argument for me. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I really think that. I don't think it's just going to be a blowout, but I just think somehow, some way, you know, Alabama will come out, and I think they'll probably win by 10.
That would not surprise me either. Any shot at Florida State winning at all?
No. And again, not because of my bias, just because of the facts. No.
All right, so that's going to be it for us. Hold on, let me make sure that we covered everything that's on the ESPN Pick'em here. No, we did not. There's two games that are on the ESPN Pick'em that we did not talk about yet. So, Temple and Notre Dame.
Ugh. Why the hell did they make that one of the Pick'ems?
Yeah. Oof.
Temple, you know, they surprised a lot of people last year.
They did, but I don't know. A lot of those tough guys ain't coming back. But then again, Notre Dame, we won only four games, so ugh.
Still got, I don't even know who that. I mean, no Kaiser either for them, so.
No Kaiser. My league, Zaire, he's at Florida. Yeah. again, part because of bias and part because of the facts, Temple.
Yeah. I'll go Notre Dame.
I'll go with Notre Dame as well. And North Carolina and Cal.
I'm trying to think here. I'm like, oh, man.
ESPN.
I had North Carolina, I think, when I did the picks. So
I don't even remember who I picked for this one. North Carolina. ESPN, really, we got to talk. Who's in charge?
They're gonna, they have to put in some that are not no-brainers for week one, or it's not fun.
Yeah, but I get no-brainers, but those? I mean, there's a difference between no-brainers and potential piles of manure.
Yeah.
Well, right. They don't care if the game's bad. They just want to make it hard for you to make a pick.
Yeah. You know, I'll go, yeah. You guys are right. North Carolina.
All right, so let's get to the... Who do you have as your playoff? Who makes the playoffs for the college football deal? Your top four.
Alabama, definitely. Gonna buck the trend in the Pac-12, and I'm gonna say USC. I think, especially after last year, they're going to make some great strides. Sam Darnold, maybe top three Heisman voting. I'm going to buck the trend again with the Big Ten. I don't think it's Ohio State. I think Michigan. And, yeah, and since Miami's not going to make a strong enough case when they win the ACC, Oklahoma.
Oh, you got Miami winning the ACC, huh?
Hey, Mark Richt. How they make strides, and I even said after his free year, he's getting us in position to start to win divisions and win conferences. I think that he does now what he really couldn't do with Georgia.
What do you think, Gary?
You know, this is going to be fun. I think, you know, I really didn't think about this until you told me that we were going to do this. And so I was kind of mulling this over in my mind. And I actually, you know, some of the teams that I'd actually predicted in my mind here, Eric said a couple of them. I think Oklahoma is going to be a big contender this year to come in. I think Alabama is a given. It's like, hey, you have to
so
put
no
them there.
No love for Oklahoma State.
Nope. Nope, no Oklahoma State. They all always find a way to screw themselves and find themselves out of the picture when it comes to the Final Four, at least. And then, of course, you know, I got to give love to Michigan, man. I really feel like Michigan's going to make a run for it. I have that feeling. I think they're going to get it done. And so really excited about seeing, you know, how that's going to work out. But I think they're going to get that close. And I think you got to throw a flyer in here. I think North Texas. No, okay, I'm just kidding. you know, I would be really, really happy and surprised to see if a team like, you know, gosh darn it. I'm trying to think of somebody else that wouldn't be. I wish I could put Texas A&M in there. I really, really do. I want to put the team like that up in there because I think that they could surprise people.
Yeah, I've heard quite a bit from different, you know, I've seen people because Wisconsin's schedule is so bad. All they have to do is beat Michigan during the season and they could get in. You know, Penn State has a shot at being there again. I'm going to go with Eric's pick of Michigan, though, for one of them. I'm going to Alabama. Obviously, even though watch out for Auburn, they could give them a run. I'm still going to say Clemson out of the ACC until somebody proves to me that they're not the best. I don't think that Florida State's that good. And, you know, Miami is going to win because the Coastal is so bad. But, when they get to play Clemson, they're going to wind up losing again. And I'll pick USC, I guess, on the other one. So, and I hate to do it, but I think Alabama's going to win again.
If only Nick Saban had stayed with the Dolphins. If only.
The Dolphins would be sucking worse than they do now.
Not necessarily. I mean, hey, blame a team physical. We could have had Drew Brees.
Yeah.
True. I'm sure the Chargers at some point wished that they still had Drew Brees, but you know.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard not to pick Alabama. It really is, and I would love to. I'd love to see Michigan win it, to be honest with you. And I have a lot of people in my life that are Michigan Wolverine nuts. They love them to death, and it's not because of them. Actually, I kind of like to watch them fail because of those guys. But on the other hand, I think it'd be fun to see Michigan win another title.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, of all those, I have Bama beating Michigan in the title game. Simply because it's Bama, and without them, the SEC is garbage.
I wouldn't call it garbage, but you're not wrong in that Alabama really holds up that conference.
Mm-hmm. They do. That is true. And I wish it was Arkansas holding up that conference, but it's Alabama.
Well, you and me both, sir, but that's just wishful thinking at this point. They should be improved, but they'll be lagging behind, as usual. So, all right, let's get to the football, the NFL version. All the preseason games today, there were some fun ones. I might actually go back and watch some of them and, you know, that we won't talk about them, but it'll be fun just to watch them.
I've called a game in advance and seeing the final score without even realizing it a week ago.
Yeah, Giants and Patriots was like 40-38. Ridiculous.
Good God. And it's funny. I sat on my couch when the Jaguars missed the conversion and couldn't get the game-winning drive together, losing to Carolina. The first words out of my mouth were, watch, they'll go ahead into Atlanta and win just because they're schizo. I checked the final score on my phone, 13-7.
Yep.
You know, I need to get a good connection with the bookie because I need to start making my mouth a bit more profitable if I'm going to say these things.
Hey, you know, that never hurts. It gets you some money, man. Gets you some money.
Exactly.
So this just coming down here about an hour ago. Of course, Ezekiel Elliott's 3 days of meetings, 25 hours. The NFL has given Harold Henderson until Monday to make a decision. However, the NFLPA has requested to block any suspension for Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, Lord.
They have
requested
a temporary restraining order in the Eastern District of Texas calling for the courts to block any suspension for Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott, upheld by Harold Henderson.
No.
The NFLPA filing calls for the court. They're saying pretty much that Also, we got to remember that there was reports out that they had one person that had nothing to do really with that investigation, being the person that took testimony from Tiffany Thompson. And she said that there was no way that she would be giving Ezekiel Elliott a suspension based off of what she said. But somehow Harold Henderson and the NFL didn't want to hear what Tiffany Thompson had to say.
Yeah, I really wish I had cracked open my drink before hearing this news because, you talk about a comedy of errors. Oh, my God.
The NFL is looking worse and worse by the day on this whole thing.
You know, it really brings up the big question. Why did they pick this case to be the one to hang their hat on? And we keep talking about it. He's a big profile player. He's a young player. He's definitely a guy that needs to stop being an idiot. I'll be honest with you. And he's made a lot of problems for himself.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's now realized that this is very real. And
yeah. But before that, he made an idiot of himself several times. And really, he's paying for those several times by something that maybe possibly he didn't do, and it looks more and more daily like he didn't do it. So, I mean, this is the one thing that I'm surprised the NFL wasn't smarter than. They should have found a case that really had it written on the wall. The courts could say it was. They could say it was, and no one could argue it. They picked the one thing. It's almost like, you know, us talking about, you know, the JFK assassination. We could sit here all day and speculate and talk about somebody that was there, wasn't there, what happened, the magic bullet, all this kind of stuff.
Hashtag Zapruder film.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see this. So that's just my point. It's probably the worst case scenario for the NFL to hang their hat on to say this is how we're going to discipline players. This is just a mess. This is a complete comedy, like you said, Eric. I can't wait for Comedy Central to get a hold of this.
I'm calling it here now. I'm setting the line. Work stoppage over under 2019. I'm just saying it here and now. I think this is going to be too much of a tipping point, and it's going to create too much of a snowball. I think D'Amore Smith or whoever made the decision to get the TRO is a jackass, but I don't know. This, oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, but isn't it really fishy that the woman that actually heard the testimony from the victim in this case was barred from the appeal process or to be there in the appeal hearing? I mean, doesn't that just scream you're trying to convict this guy?
Yeah, it's extremely fishy, and don't get me wrong, and I think that this is one of those things that's going to lead to a work stoppage before the expiration of the current CBA. The NFL is rolling in, still trying to clean up its image with all this and that, because everybody's referencing this, everybody's referencing Ray Rice, everybody's referencing Josh Brown. These kinds of wounds and images and pictures in people's minds do not go away so quickly. So the NFL, with Goodell, like he was when he came into this league as commissioner, being extremely heavy-handed, and now you're just going too far.
Okay, so I'm going to say this, and maybe it's wrong, maybe you guys can yell at me, I just don't know. I've paid close attention to Ezekiel Elliott because, well, he's one of the big guys in the market that I live in. The local market, the local TV, everything about Ezekiel Elliott, we hear about. I found out how many times he went to the bathroom on his rookie day, like the first day. I mean, they tell me everything. And this is the one thing that they didn't bring out was him doing something to this woman, which usually in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, Sean can tell you, they will expose you for everything. If you send in a paper that was not yours in high school, you know about it. Like, right away, they tell you every detail of the players' lives. And this is something they didn't bring up very much. They honestly, it was very low-key. And I felt like coming into the year when his rookie year was there, it was something that was not there. It took the NFL to expose this and put the biggest magnifying glass they could on it to now make this a problem. I think the NFL did it to themselves. I don't think that this case was a relevant case when it came to people paying attention to it. They should have picked a case that people really were behind. The public was not upset and burning torches outside Elliott's house before the NFL starts saying this and trying to make it a deal. It's their fault.
Well, I did want to point out that reading the Star Telegram here, you know, the end of, when we talked about this, remember we talked about this originally, we had that special and everything. They're citing photographic evidence, but there is no proof in that evidence that Ezekiel Elliott did anything. There is no evidence there of Elliott actually touching her and doing anything to her.
And again,
but, you know, this is what I'm saying, though. And now you throw in the stuff with Kia Roberts not being allowed to be a part of the appeals process and her report citing that she recommended no suspension at all for him not being allowed to be there either. If you want to go to court now, you have a lot of stuff that could actually hold up and get thrown out.
Yeah, and I just think Gary's right. The league did this to themselves, and he brought up a valid point. Look at what happened. I saw the 30 for 30 about Dallas Carter. How that was a total circus. Look at the dirty.
The players wound up hurting themselves at the end.
At the very end, yes. But before it led up to that, during that championship run, things like that, yes. Look at the dirty dealings at SMU. That whole case went to the damn governor. That was dug up inside out, news stories and everything. So, yes, if there's sort of any meat on the bone, Dallas media has a reputation for grabbing it and gnawing on it like a pack of wild dogs. In this case, they didn't. This goes back to my point about the NFL. They have problems. They have issues. Whatever they want to say is affecting their numbers, it is. So now they're going to try to overcompensate. I didn't want this to be another circus, especially after the whole Deflategate debacle, but unfortunately, here we go. Step right up, three balls for a dollar. Take your best shot.
It's the truth, you know. I this is something that I think the NFL is going to look back on and say, wow, this is probably the wrong step.
I don't think the NFL is going to look at this at all unless the NFLPA does the thing that they're doing right now where they're pushing it.
They're going to, though. They're going to have to
making them look bad. That's where if this goes to court and gets thrown out or even gets the injunction like Brady, the NFL is going to have so much egg on its face.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's going to lead to some sort of work stoppage sooner than later. Both sides are just going to get sick and tired, and they're not even going to wait out the next 4 years because you already had with Brady, now you have this, and who's to say it won't even happen again?
Okay, so I'm going to bring up one quick thing here. You know, this is coming to a head. Eric, you've just mentioned how this is going to come to a head even quicker than we get when it comes to contracts and, you know, of course, making all the, you know, agreements that are actually falling apart now. You guys talked about the extension of Roger Goodell, and we see in college, we see in the NFL, when head coaches are in a controversy, a lot of times teams will say, look, it's not really your fault, but we're going to make it your fault that way that we can fire you. And then everybody thinks, oh, they're going to be refreshed now. Everything's going to be good now that that guy's gone. It made me wonder, really, with Roger Goodell and all this stuff, with all the people that boo him everywhere he goes, why didn't they just let him move on, get a new commissioner, and just blame it on Roger Goodell, and then the NFL has a new image, even though it's really not new. And then maybe the Players Association can say, okay, the bad guy's gone. Maybe we'll make a few amendments to the stuff that you guys want, and we want our stuff. But that's all here. So I'm just throwing that out there.
No, and you're absolutely right. And I really think the owners would have gotten together and probably should have explored that more. But guess what? Oh, relocation fees, ka-ching. Oh, more relocation fees, ka-ching. Oh, even more, ka-ching. Hey, look at all these billions of extra dollars in revenue. Look at how much fatter our wallets are. We can light our cigars with a couple extra $100 bills now. Roger, how do you feel about making $50-60 million a year? Good job, buddy.
Well, not to mention that this only affects two owners. He's managed to piss off two of the most lucrative owners in the entire NFL, and that hadn't stopped the other owners from giving him an extension anyway. So, obviously, it's not affecting everyone.
Roger, you don't have to worry about going on Jerry's yacht. Mine's a lot better anyways. I got the bigger hot tub. I can get the better looking women. Come on! Don't worry about that.
Yeah. That's true. But, you know, those two owners have a lot of say, and they have a lot of influence on the rest of those guys. But I think they had something to do with it, too. I think Jerry Jones is along with them saying, okay, well, let's get this guy an extension. You know, he's looking at his paycheck as well.
It's a lesser of who else is out there? Like, other than these situations with Brady and now Zeke, and just, you know, maybe the owners didn't care about how the CBA went down. For the owners, the CBA went down just fine. So, as far as they're concerned, what Eric said, that's why he gets the extension, because he's doing right by them in every facet.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I mean, Robert Kraft, sure, he's pissed off at the guy a little bit, but he's going to get over that because his money's coming. You're right. I think, you know, it's like I just mentioned in college football, all that you need to look at is the dollar signs, and it leads to something that may not make a lot of sense.
Well, let's talk about dollar signs here. Thank you for that nice segue. Some players, specifically three of them for the Houston Texans, seeing lots of dollar signs. You have, now that I've got to sit here and look at this, you have the tight end C.J. Fedorowicz getting a three-year extension of roughly $22 million with $10 million of that guaranteed. You have a linebacker, Jay Prosh, getting a three-year extension with $5 million and $2.7 million of that guaranteed. And then DeAndre Hopkins gets a five-year, $81 million extension with $49 million of that guaranteed. And no doubt that DeAndre Hopkins deserves the money. But dang, people getting paid in Houston. We know where that Hurricane Harvey went. No, I'm joking. We know.
Yo, oh, wow.
Woo. Thanks for letting me off the hook with that one.
Yeah.
No, it's I'm joking. That Hurricane Harvey money is going where it needs to go. But interesting that it is Houston make.
American Red Cross, direct all of your hate tweets at W2M Sean. We had nothing to do with this. That was all him.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And now,
hey, there's a reason why JJ Watt's making sure that money's going where it needs to go, because he knows that if you just send it to the government, it may not go where it needs to go. So let's not play around here. That's not.
Well, when you have an orange man in office, I mean, things go out the window. So,
hey, he's giving his own $1 million too. So,
right.
At least the orange man's doing something.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see the great big check, and he'll talk about.
Well,
crowds.
He says he didn't know which group to send it to. So,
oh, geez, sweet Jesus Christ.
He went down there and dropped it off, I'm sure. He went down there it's actually kind of funny. A few of my friends saw him, so it is kind of funny, though.
Hey, that's good. I'm glad he helped out. Jerry Jones gave $1 million. The Cowboys raised $2.3 million in the telethon they had today or yesterday. You know, J.J. Watts is now at $13 million. You know, that's pretty awesome. You have so many teams now that have raised money. hey, this is all great. I'm glad that the Hurricane Harvey people are getting the relief. Hopefully it is going to those families and everything else, and it helps just bring that city and all the cities around it, you know, Rockport, Corpus Christi, all that, that also got affected. Everybody keeps talking about Houston, and there's other cities there that they got affected Beaumont. As well. Yeah, Beaumont. It just, I mean,
my grandmother actually is from Orange. I don't know if you guys heard of Orange Beaumont area, and she doesn't live there anymore, but her house is still there, and it's gotten flooded a little bit. So, yeah, it's one of those things that you just it cut a lot closer to home for me. And usually, when I see stuff like this on the news, it's from somewhere else. But man, it's amazing how this thing has affected so many people. And I'm so happy to see that the NFL and of course teams and players are getting involved. This is awesome.
Yeah, you know, except, you know, Joel Osteen wants to get in his yacht instead.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, you know, he's just going to go up. The most important thing for Osteen is he prays for you. And there, you're okay.
He's a true Christian, closing his doors until he absolutely has to, and then letting in 300 people, because we all know that's exactly what Jesus would have done.
Yeah, exactly.
That being said, what about the money that these three players are getting here? All deserved.
Hopkins, I understand entirely. CJ Fedorowicz, I mean, you're not even lucky to even be dubbed a Words with Friends.
That was Osweiler's favorite target. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, and how did that work out for Osweiler?
It doesn't mean that he's not a good tight end.
I'm not saying that he's not a good tight end, but yeah, you have one favorite. You're the main man of a main man who also got paid an exorbitant amount of money, and now he's gone off into the ether, sitting on arguably the worst team in the NFL's bench.
And I don't know. I think the Browns are better than the Jets at this point. But and maybe the Bills and Colts are, you know, running them for that money at this point too. But you know, I mean, now there's rumors that they are actually doing what people said they should have done a long time ago: put Osweiler on the trade block.
Oh but, yeah, now when you're going to get next to nothing. Way to brown it up, Cleveland.
Or, you know, you might actually need a sort of, if Kaiser gets hurt, he could do something, backup quarterback. But, you know, whatever, Cleveland.
It just really quickly, Hopkins is a no-brainer. The rest of these guys, I guess you're making a splash to put some good news out there for the Houston Texans fans. But besides that, wow, that's getting a little extravagant for me. I think Hopkins is the biggest story.
I mean, Hopkins also getting money for having to put up with the crap of quarterbacks he's had to deal with lately. So, you know, I mean, if you want to dispute this at all, he has in four seasons 317 receptions, 4,487 yards, 23 touchdowns. Pretty damn good numbers. This puts him in line with Julio Jones and Demaryius Thomas as far as money goes. And he now has a contract through 2022. So
yeah, and good for him. As you say, a very apt reward for the litany of different quarterbacks who you have to catch passes from. And you show up and you do your job very well. I have no qualms with that.
Yeah. You know, hey, if nothing else, if he's not catching many footballs because of that situation with the quarterbacks, at least he knows how to catch $100 bills.
That is true. Speaking of catching money, Joe Hayden gets released by the Browns and then pretty much hours after that gets signed by the rival Pittsburgh Steelers. 3 years, $27 million, gets $7 million of that guaranteed in his first year. Cowboys, Saints, and Colts were all looking at him.
Again, way to brown it up, Cleveland. Now he gets to burn you twice.
Well, hey, they didn't want to pay him a bunch of money, so.
Well, but again, I get the fact that, oh, you don't want to take a pay cut. And yes, he was owed $11 million. But for the love of God, really?
You can't, well, they couldn't find a trade partner, so they just released him.
Yeah, well, you can't fix stupid, so.
Yeah, I'm interested. I think this could be something that's really positive for the Steelers, you know, and I think, you know, there's a reason that Cleveland found him expendable, and I get it, you know, part of it is the big check they had to write him. But there may be some other things we don't know about. That's one of those things I always kind of put into consideration when you see big names leave teams, even if they are the Cleveland Browns.
Really would have been nice to see the Cowboys kind of be more into this, but it seemed like Joe Hayden had his sights set on where he wanted to go, and
well,
he got it.
Yeah, that's true, too. But once again, I don't know. We don't know some of the stories or what's gone on behind the scenes. So,
and to just go in a rapid-fire fashion here, Lake Tomlinson, O-lineman from the Lions, gets traded to the 49ers for a fifth-round draft pick. Vance McDonald goes from the 49ers to the Steelers for a fourth-round draft pick. That's the tight end that Blaine Gabbert liked to throw to. He's pretty serviceable. Good for the Steelers. Hopefully he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Irving sent from the Browns to the Chiefs for a fifth-rounder. Yeah, so maybe he can actually play his natural position, because the Browns were having him play, I think, like left tackle, and he looked awful. And you also have some guys that are looking at possibly being traded. The Jets are putting Matt Forte on the trade block, and the Seahawks are accepting trade offers for cornerback Jeremy Lane, running back and former Arkansas standout Alex Collins, who hasn't really done anything for them, and Jermaine Kearse.
That I'm a little surprised about, unless you're getting the one, was it Williams, if I remember right, who made some big splashes in the preseason. I mean,
yeah,
if you're Kasson trying to
Williams,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, if you're trying to make room for him, to elevate him to the starting team, okay. But if you're not, then I'm confused.
Yeah, Kearse is okay. I guess if there's a team out there looking at receiver, maybe really wanting a guy that's been in the league for a little while and just hoping to get some help, I could see it. But, I mean, I don't know. If I'm a team out there, I'm not looking at other guys, especially younger guys, because, I mean, I don't know that Kearse gives you way much more of an advantage than, you know, any of those other guys.
Kearse is also small.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but he's proven he's really good. He's made some big catches in big games, you know, specifically the Super Bowl. And he, you know, he's going to carry some money with him, too. So that's something you got to put that out as well. Alex Collins, if for some reason you're pretty much still looking at his Arkansas tape and you want him, probably wouldn't cost very much. And Jeremy Lane, when he's healthy, was pretty decent. So, you know, he could help somebody out. Maybe the Cowboys could look at him. Don't know if he's going to carry a price tag as well. What about Matt Forte? Do you think he still has something to offer a team that's looking for a... I mean, obviously, I think he's obviously got to take a backup role at this point. But
yeah, I really don't know how much he has left, so I can't dog the Jets for this decision. I don't know, maybe... I really can't even think he would surprise me for having anything close to a version of a comeback or breakout year. It's no. Jets are moving on, and good luck trying to find a decent trade partner.
He's a back that, you know, possibly one of those third down backs for you. Someone who could, you know, pass catch out of the backfield and give you a little bit of a help out in that situation. But outside of that, just a backup guy. I don't think he'd ever be a starter in this league again. But I don't know many teams that, you know, like we've talked about other positions, don't want to just get younger instead of, you know, just getting a guy like that.
Yeah, it's very true. That's why I think, like, you know, Denver decided to, as far as we know, keep Jamal Charles. That would have been a spot that I would have said maybe for him. But that's the thing. He's got to be okay with being a second back, you know, taking that McFadden-Alfred Morris role, you know, for something more like, you know, what we talk about here, and not think that he's going to be the lead back. Now, if they don't find a trade partner and the Jets decide that they don't want to play Bilal Powell every down or whatever, then maybe he has a spot there for himself. But you're not winning anything if you're Matt Forte as well. You're going to be down in the cellar. So what's more important to you, playing time or winning a ring?
Good question. I mean, the classic answer is winning a ring, but who would be really championship contention that would want you?
Yeah, that's the thing. I could see maybe like the Lions if the price isn't too hefty. You know, provide some insurance for Abdullah and Theo Riddick's more of a guy you pass to.
Championship contenders.
Well, they have a better shot than the Jets.
That ain't saying much this year.
You're not wrong, but
same to New England. New England always seems to do good things with running backs, so
I feel like they got a surplus right now.
No, they do. I'm just saying, if there's one team that finds a way to get pulled anything out of a veteran, it's usually New England.
Yeah, look at Rex Burkhead doing big things right now. So, all right, that's going to do it for us on this show. Like I said, we won't have a show on the Monday night, Tuesday morning. It will be Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, as we will be doing our season preview. We'll be doing some segments as well as going around the divisions, picking division winners, giving you the standings for, or not standings, but we'll give you the 1-4 for each division as well. And then, of course, going to the playoffs and picking a Super Bowl winner and all that as well. I'm sure by then the Ezekiel Elliott stuff will be figured out and we'll be able to talk about that and whatever else has been going on, as because there's going to be that big, huge cut over the weekend too, from 90 to 53, and you got to pick 10 for the practice squad. So the mass confusion craziness is going to be fun to watch on Sunday when everybody becomes available. You know, they had a transfer deadline day today in Europe. They should have a cut down day, you know, event on Fox or something.
Maybe. If they could even air at a good time slot, I could see myself watching that.
Yeah. How do you feel? You just got fired.
Well, I meant more for like the ones that get hired, or maybe some of the bigger names they get cut, like if they get put on a team or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to suck for all those players.
Yeah, for sure.
But all right. And, you know, until we meet again in just a few days. And my Lord, this time next week, the opener of the season, guys. Can you feel it? Can you taste it? That kickoff is almost here.
It almost tastes too good this early.
I'll believe it when I'm sitting on my couch cider or whatever drink I've invented in my hand, game snacks, on my TV. That's when I know it's real.
Chiefs and Patriots playing. There you go.
So, exactly.
All right. So make sure you hit subscribe, Football to the Max. If you like what you heard, you can even write a review on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. Leave comments, WTMNet.com. Last word on ProFootball.com, the LWS Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Wherever it is you listen to us, we thank you. We appreciate it. We are now a part of iHeartRadio, by the way, so that's really cool, too. You can go listen to us there if you're a big iHeartRadio person. And, yeah, until next week, or until Tuesday, we'll see you later, everybody.
Peace.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.